Today we're going to look at mental health and psychosocial support in South Sudan. Now, last week, you know, we did mark the Suicide Prevention Day. And we talked a lot on that day, and most of you had a lot to say on ways to make sure that the suicide rates are reduced, not just in South Sudan, but across the world. And since 2014, South Sudan has had one of the highest suicide rates in the world, has been one of the countries with the highest suicide rate in the world. And according to a WHO report, that is World Health Organization, released in 2019. And so another report ranks South Sudan at 13 out of 172 countries surveyed. So that makes us very close to the many countries that have a lot of suicide rates reported. And coronavirus just made it worse, because then it's one of those diseases that causes a lot of stigma and can put you in a hole, can put you in a corner, and you know, and be a very big risk to our mental health. And according to global estimates, at least one in every 100 deaths worldwide is a result of suicide. Yes. And so this is something that affects all of us. It affects you. It affects me. Just hearing that somebody has committed suicide is very devastating news. Even if you don't know the person, it just doesn't feel right. And so there are so many ways to prevent this from happening. And one of the ways is to have preventative measures in place. And one way to have preventative measures in place is to get experts together, to put their brains together, to be able to work towards eradicating such a vice from our society. And so one of such groups in South Sudan is the Mental Health and Psychosocial Support Technical Working Group. This group works on issues to do with mental health in South Sudan. And today, joining me in the studio is are two people who are part of this group. We have Patrick Irama, who is a psychiatric nurse and public health officer. He's currently working as a roving senior mental health program officer for IMC, which is International Medical Corps. That is since 2014. Patrick, you're welcome to Radio Miraya.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You'll correct me on your experience later on. And then Margaret Lindrio James is a bachelor's degree holder in education, and she works as a mental health and psychosocial support officer based right here in Juba at Humanity Inclusion. You're welcome, Margaret.
Thank you so much, Lucy.
Yes. So the first question I'm going to ask both of you is, what is your experience in working with mental health and psychosocial support? Let's start with you, Margaret. How long have you been in this field of work?
Okay, thank you so much. I've been working in this field of mental health for quite a long time. I started with working as a psychosocial counselor with TPO in Uganda, in a refugee camp, and South Sudanese refugee camp. And then later I also worked as a psychosocial counselor in Yei with the Humanity and Inclusion, and now I'm here in Juba as the mental health and psychosocial support officer in Juba.
So how many years?
Yeah, at approximately 10 years.
10 years.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes, yeah.
I'm glad you're still sane. After all those years.
For sure.
What about you, Patrick?
Thank you, Lucy. In this field now, I'm making 8 years.
Eight years.
Mm-hmm. So far, I have clocked 7. Mm. And I'm still going on with it. Mm-hmm. So far, it's good, and all is well with it.
Yes, I'm still going to talk about you, for starters. how has been your experience working in this field, Margaret?
Yeah.
For all these 10 years?
Yeah, for all these years, you know, I really felt that I enjoy working. I enjoy doing mental health work. As I do counseling for others, it also helps me. You know, I also come out of issues that affect me as I help others. And you find that in mental health, you really feel that you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You are not alone. There are many other people outside there experiencing the same thing, and you find that you feel so excited, like helping people cope with issues.
With their issues.
Yeah, and you really feel excited, like you feel you have done something. So I do enjoy doing mental health work, and especially counseling. I really do enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll come back to you. What about you, Patrick? All these years, how do you feel having been in this field for 7 years?
To me, it is a mixed feeling, in a sense that for sure you find dealing with this field, especially the mental health and psychosocial support, you are handling most difficult and sometimes also very sensitive issues, where it comes with the mental illness or disorders, of course, where that's what we are doing so much, the clinical part of it. When you help somebody through and somebody happen to get recovered from these mental problems or the illness, it makes me really feel so superb. However, it is never easy because the family also is expecting a lot, and there is really pressure from the client, from the community, the stigma and everything is so huge. So it's never easy one, but through, of course, when you help somebody through this, it makes you feel really one in a million.
Okay.
So
today we'll be talking about mental health and social psychosocial support, but we'll go down to suicide specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go there, just generally, what is your definition of mental health and psychosocial support?
Yes, mental health actually is a state of well-being. In a way that a person is able to realize his or her potentials, is able to cope with the stressors, and is able to contribute to his or her community. That is how we define or we explain mental health according to World Health Organization. Yes.
Okay. And when Patrick, who actually needs support when it comes to mental health and psychosocial support?
We don't have a specific group of people, but of course mental health and psychosocial support is something that can be provided to anybody who needs a support.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Ranging from individuals who have maybe suffered some kind of losses, or maybe they have been displaced, or maybe they have experienced some catastrophic events in their lives, people may need mental health and psychosocial support. So it's not a single individual, maybe after some specific, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I can say.
Okay. Sure. And when it comes to knowing, how can I know that I need mental health and psychosocial support? Are there ways I can find out as an individual so that I can come to you, Margaret, and say, Margaret,
yes,
help me, I need counseling.
Okay.
How can I know that?
There are ways. Of course, mental illness generally is not something that is investigated in the laboratory.
Yes,
we
yes.
don't take blood samples.
It's not like malaria.
or mm-hmm. like the typhoid that people witness in Juba, wherever.
Yeah.
Yes. It is just the way you see how somebody feels, the way how somebody has his thoughts or her thoughts, the way how somebody sleeps, how somebody talks, you know, you observe the behaviors. You also notice sometimes these individuals communicate some other things which have not been in the, as part of their lives. Specifically, if we are talking about the suicide, yes, you will be able to like notice that somebody becomes to starts to like talks in the lines of death. Somebody start to feel like life is not worthy to live. Somebody becomes hopeless, something like that. But of course, there are quite many groups of mental illness. Yes. At times, you could see somebody has some mood problems. In some moments, of course, you could see somebody losing touch with the reality. This is when you will know that somebody...
This person needs help.
Needs some kind of assistance, maybe from a professional.
Okay. Margaret,
yeah, like to add something. I would like to add on something to what my colleague has said. You know... sometimes we begin by giving awareness on on mental health and psychosocial support, and through this awareness you find that people come to realize that there is support here that I can go for, and you find that in this awareness you talk about signs and symptoms of mental health.
Yes.
Like, how do somebody who has mental health problem, leave alone mental illness, but somebody who has mental health problem, somebody who is not able to cope with situations like problems that they are going through, and you find that this person may be having some sleepless nights, may not be able to eat well, loss of appetite, and you find that the person might not be able to relate well with the people around him or her. And when you talk of such kind of things during awareness sessions, you find that people will find out that, hey, I have this kind of symptoms. I think I need to go for counseling, or I need to go for support, for mental health support. And you find that that is how we get people who are able to come for
help. Okay. Yes. Is this something common in South Sudan? I mean, you're part of the mental health and psychosocial support technical working group. Do you come across statistics of how it is in South Sudan when it comes to mental health? Do you have any of those details, Patrick?
I think of recent there are some data for prevalences of different mental health conditions that WHO and Ministry of Health is able to gather across many other service providers, ranging from international NGOs or local NGOs and government institutions.
Yes.
There are some data. However, for now, I don't have these data with me to share.
Okay. Sure. So what is the function of the working group? What do you do as a working group in regards to, you know, to fighting this issue of mental health conditions?
First of all, the Mental Health and Psychosocial Support Working Group is a platform for mental health professionals. From some ministries, academic partners, we have also the non-governmental organizations, both national and international. We have also other UN agencies providing this technical support. In South Sudan, the main job for the technical working group for mental health and psychosocial support is to give guidance and. On issues to do with the mental health and psychosocial support, providing also training to partners and contributing to the mental health and psychosocial support response. For example, if need be, maybe there are some crises that has happened in parts of the country.
Yes.
The technical working group will give guidance or maybe provide trainings to some existing structures in the locality within. Could be any other institution, for example, the government or maybe national NGOs within the area, so that they're able to like provide some kind of response to the affected population. Not only that, the mental health and psychosocial support also give guidance and like in terms of knowledge and experiences with the other mental health and psychosocial support actors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So basically that's what the technical working group does, and above that also they gather information in relation to like who is doing what and where, such that mapping is made easy in terms of referrals, so that clients or people who are in need of mental health and psychosocial support are able to like get the support that they need in a very easy way.
Okay.
So, yes.
All right. And who are some of these actors that that you work with as a group to fast track this response?
Thank you, Lucy. The mental health and psychosocial support, which is the technical working group, is led by IOM.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is co-chaired by UNICEF,
mm-hmm.
Supported with and also International Medical Corps. And of course, there are many other MHPSS actors, which we call the Mental Health and Psychosocial Support Network.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So they run this network with the many other subsectors in inside the wider mental health and psychosocial support networks. I think I've answered you.
Okay. So what are some of the current activities of the working group?
The working group, as I said, shares experiences.
No, currently, like what you're doing. Okay. Currently, yes.
Currently, we are doing some level of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
For us, this is a very busy month. We call it the awareness month.
Mm-hmm.
It starts now, this month of September through October, when we shall be marking also the World Mental Health Day, mm-hmm. on October 10th.
Yes.
At this present time, we are marking the World Suicide Prevention Day.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the date is always celebrated on the 10th of September. But of course, yeah, we are talking about the Awareness Month, which doesn't stop on the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
why we are here, sharing these experiences and giving the awareness to the wider communities outside there.
So coming to you, Margaret, yes. this whole month you're going to be focusing on suicide.
Mm.
We know what suicide is. Suicide is when one attempts, so there's attempted and then the suicide itself.
Mm.
When you kill yourself, when an individual stages their own, you know, murder or death.
Mm. Mm.
And is this something that you have had experience with? Have you met people who have experienced suicide, and what kind of help do they usually need as you create awareness on it? What kind of help do such people need?
Yeah, thank you, Lucy. We have surely met many people who have some suicidal ideas, some suicidal attempts, people who have attempted suicide before, and people who have ideas on suicide. And in most cases, we identify these people in our communities, like as we go around doing our activities like raising awareness, you will find that we identify these people. And the most common support we give to such individuals at community level, especially also at family level, is to give a supporting hand, like to feel with this person, to be able to say, I can feel what you're going through. And normally when we identify such people, we refer them for counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Such people need a lot of counseling. They need a lot of emotional support. They need a lot of care. And they also need a lot of knowledge, awareness given to the community and to the family to ensure that they are not left alone. They are to be supported, and people should be around them to encourage them at least to build on some hope.
Okay.
Yes.
Earlier on, Patrick, you did mention a few signs and symptoms of someone who wants to commit suicide. But now I want us to focus on suicide alone. When earlier we're talking about mental health in general. How can one know, as like you said, they need support, they need, but how can we identify that this person is suicidal? Is there a way you can know that such a person actually is thinking about killing themselves?
Yes, Lucy, thank you. First of all, I just needed to go through the definition of what suicide is so that we really know what we are talking about. In a very simple way, suicide is an act of deliberately killing oneself. In other words, if I decide intentionally to take my own life, that's what we call suicide. For me and you who is listening now, there are many ways that somebody can communicate verbally or non-verbally about an intention to kill self. It's very important to know that just when I see this, it means suicide. But of course, we are saying these are what we call the warning signs. They are an indicators. They show that somebody is not in the right track, or this person could be doing something different at the earliest time or soon. Some of these signs could be like talking about wanting to die or to kill oneself. Somebody looking for ways to like kill oneself by all means, like climbing heights, attempting like to jump, or maybe taking some poisons and other. Somebody also you could be saying is thinking about suicide when you see the client, the person is feeling hopeless or having like no purpose. They don't have future. When you sit like to do an assessment, one will say, I don't see future. I don't have like any other plans for tomorrow next. Yes, they become hopeless. They don't have plans for tomorrow. That is indicating that somebody
might be thinking.
Yes, exactly. Yes. There are quite so many. And others could also be like talking about being a burden to others. Yes. Sometimes you will see them like increasing in consumption of alcohol and other drugs. This is what we call impulsive behavior, like also. You could also like see somebody acting in a very reckless way, sleeping too little or maybe too much, just because it has that link of having no plan for future and others. Somebody could also be lacking some concerns about the personal welfare, will not be giving some attention to his own welfare and others, because of course, all he knows now is, I should take off my life. Life is no more worthy to live. This is what this person is talking about, is always thinking about. Sometimes you will see them getting disengaged from work and other activities. And also, there is that they call, there is that strong feelings of hopelessness, of course, I talked about it. And also the sleep habit that is less or too much, I talked about, and refusing for school-going children. They may not feel like to go and attend classes or going to school becomes
or even
like
playing.
Some of this may indicate that surely somebody is not having the verge for life.
Okay.
Exactly.
And so,
and also isolation in adults, you will see somebody extremely getting isolated and withdrawn from the families or friends, and they will prefer to stay alone.
Okay.
Yep.
One question I want to ask is this, and especially before we move on to how someone can react to those signs and symptoms. If is it possible that someone can go suicidal without intending to be going in that direction? just given life's issues? Is this something that you've experienced? Have you come across such people?
Yes,
who
yes.
actually don't know that they're going in that direction?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, sometimes, of course, we do, you may find somebody having the intent, like that is what we may call self-harm. Mm-hmm. It is not done for the purpose of killing selves. If, like, I take some knife, I cut my hands here, you see me bleeding, this may not necessarily mean that I am going to kill myself. Mm. It will not be with the intention of killing self.
So some people just harm themselves.
Yes, that is what we call the self-harm.
Okay.
And it ends there. After some response is given, your life is saved and you are back. The main difference between self-harm and suicide is that suicide is done, okay, deliberately with the intention to die.
To die.
Exactly.
Okay.
But in self-harm, it is just something that somebody may
to
do.
To inflict pain.
Mm-hmm. On themselves. That's where the two comes with difference, exactly.
Okay. All right. Coming to you, Margaret, you want to say something?
Yes, I want to say something. I could say that maybe somebody who has mental illness could really could go for suicide without knowing, because he's offline already. He doesn't
offline. Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, he doesn't know. So you find that people who have mental illness, real mental illness, could really go for suicide without
knowing.
Without knowing.
It's not necessarily their choice, but
yeah, something has
something
forced,
pushes them
yes,
to that direction.
To do that. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Let's now talk about response. After seeing such signs and symptoms, maybe you're close to someone and they're not responding and all that. How do you respond? Before we actually go there, please, if you're listening in, we are talking about mental health and psychosocial support, and in this case, focusing on suicide. But then, if you have a question, you can send your question to 0912-177-141. And I will shortly be opening my lines after this question is answered. So, just briefly, how do you respond to someone who is showing signs and symptoms of being suicidal? Margaret?
Normally, we respond to such people by caring for them. We care for them. And then we give a listening ear. We listen to what they are going through. We listen to what they are going through, and then we don't leave them alone. If we really identify that somebody has signs and symptoms of suicide, such a person should not be left alone. The family should be involved, the community should be involved, not to leave such a person alone. And then we care for such a person, and we also give some emotional support to really help this person, to support this person feel that somebody is around listening to what he or she is going through.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Something to add?
Yes.
Thank you. Just as Margaret has put it, we have to always be very clear and very sure that whenever we see suicide happening or an attempt, it must be treated with a quick action. And
yes,
this is because suicide is a psychiatric emergency, and it cannot be taken for granted or lightly. For that purpose, also, we have to report to a relevant authority around. Because if it's not reported, this data may not be captured in the right way. And this is also the other factor that we are receiving a lot of under-reporting about suicide. There are some things that are happening in the communities which is not coming to our notice. It just ends there.
All right.
Yes.
Let's take a few callers, and then I'll be able to ask you more questions. You can call in right now if you have a question on this particular issue. Radio Mirai, good morning. And we lost our caller. Radio Mirai, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, please, could you move away from your radio? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah. This is Lual Grant calling from Malakal.
Yes, Lual, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thank you so much. I would like to ask the guests in this studio. Now, the final stage to this stress and trauma is madness. Many people are now mad, and suicide is also as a result of madness. How do you control? What support are you giving to mad people?
Okay, thank you very much.
On the street here, you may control, you may lose your control, then you begin talking alone on the street. Many people are now been talking alone in the street without someone talking to them.
Okay,
but the guests in the studio now, there are not even many to give people counseling. There are very few people are laughing at people if you have a stress.
Okay, thanks, Lual. Let's answer your question. Thank you. This is Lual Garang. He says, before suicide comes madness. How can you address the issue of madness in Juba, in other states? Of course, this is coming from most of the... This is a mental illness, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Lucy. And I would like to thank Lual Garang from Malakal. Lual, thank you, really. Malakal has been a hotspot as far as suicide is concerned. Around 2018, I'm aware of that. And honestly speaking, a lot of response and means have been put in place by the Mental Health and Psychosocial Support Actors in Malakal, and also from our national ministries from here in Juba, and many other UN and international NGOs. I remember several trainings have been done to help healthcare workers to be able to screen or assess people with the people who have suicidal ideas. And not only the healthcare workers, but also series of trainings have been provided to community leaders and protection partners who are working in Malakal, POC especially. This all means that we do to help people like provide appropriate response as far as suicide is concerned. But of course, yeah, what you are raising also is right. Suicide is again very common. That is when you also check it with WHO. It is very common among individuals who have mental health conditions, specifically if we are talking about moderate severe depressive disorders. Depression ranks actually the highest. You will realize among people who have depression, suicide happens more rampantly. And not only that, also people with the psychotic features, people who do not know what is exactly happening around themselves, those who lost touch with the reality, what we are talking, they may do it unknowingly, of course, as Margaret said this before. Yes.
Okay.
But of, yes.
All right. So now we've talked about the condition. We've looked at how it can be addressed, but we've actually not touched some of the things that actually push people to go suicidal. Yeah. So can we just touch on that shortly before we look at some other issues as well? What are those things that push people to go suicidal? Sometimes you may have your issues and it just sticks as a mental health problem.
Yeah, sure.
But then there are conditions that push it for someone now to think about killing themselves. What are some of those conditions?
Thank you, Lucy. There are many things for sure that pushes people to think of suicide or to attempt suicide. You find that in most cases, people who have gone through some traumatic experiences could easily opt for suicide. Like, for example, let's take our present situation or our situation in South Sudan, where many people have lost their properties, people have lost their dear ones. You find that some people feel hopeless. They feel life has no meaning, and obviously they can opt for suicide. And you find that also loss of job, somebody could be a breadwinner in the family, and eventually this person has lost the job, and everybody's from the relative, from the family, they are looking at this person, and this person is not able to give the support that he or she used to give before, and such people can go for they can be pushed for suicide, some suicidal thoughts or suicide attempt. You find that also it could be also some health problems. Some people have some health conditions that they feel that they
would rather die.
Yeah, they would rather die than to live. Like somebody having a cancer, HIV, and maybe hepatitis, and all these. These are long illnesses. So people feel that they are already tired. They could rather die than live.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Margaret.
Maybe
we don't have much time left. We don't have much time left. So we'll be concluding in the in the final things we're going to say right now.
Okay.
And with Patrick, let's just talk about the theme for this month. You're looking at creating awareness the whole month on suicide, and the theme is technically about you know, everyone should be involved. It's action. It's about action. You can raise hope in people. Can you explain what this means and how everyone can play a role in preventing suicide in our context in South Sudan?
Absolutely, yes.
In just 1 minute.
Yes, that's what we advocate for. We say everybody and collectively we can make a better response. That's why we call everybody who is listening to at least feel that he is also charged with some responsibility to create a hope in people's life. No matter how small it is, at least that response that you are providing in whatever ways will be giving us some kind of support and creating more awareness in people's life so that suicide is brought to an end. Oh, we at least reduce it. We reduce it.
Okay. What's your last message to people listening in?
I just want to say that yes, we want to continue creating this awareness. This is not the last day. We need to continue moving forward with the awareness raising activities. And all wherever you will be or wherever you are listening from, you need to just know that yes, it is you and me and some other person that needs your help.
Okay.
As far as suicide is concerned, we all need to work together and support each one another. This South Sudan, of course, you know, is a very fragile place again. That we need to work together and support one another.
Okay, thank you very much, Patrick. Coming to you, Margaret.
Yes.
In regards to how to come in as individuals, as family, to be able to take action in preventing suicide, what can you say?
Yeah, my last message here is, Lucy, that I would like to say to all of us that we shouldn't be afraid to ask someone if they are suicidal. You find that in our traditional way, or sometimes we have a myth that it's not good to talk to someone about suicide. I mean, to ask someone if he or she has suicidal thoughts. But here I'm saying that we should not be afraid to ask someone if they are suicidal. Actually, people may think that they cannot provide the right advice. They think that they cannot provide the right advice. But you can do. Our message is that hesitance is understandable, as suicide is a complicated issue to address. People also think that if you ask about someone's suicidal thoughts, it may instigate that person to completely finish it. Mm-hmm. So I feel that we should not be afraid. We should always ask. We should always talk to the person openly if the person has some suicidal thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming today. Yeah. I think in the future we'll have more discussions on this, just to create more awareness. As it is a whole month, I'm sure you guys will be back to speak more. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Lucy.
Thank you.